This is session number 55 of the Gospel according to John. We're in John chapter 8, and today we'll be picking it up in verse 21. Last time, we saw Jesus continuing to teach in the temple, and specifically in the treasury of the temple, after he was so rudely interrupted by the Pharisees with that woman who had been taken in adultery. And in this discourse and back and forth, Jesus first reveals that he is the light of the world, and whoever will follow him shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What a powerful statement, even if we just look at that for a second. What other man in the history of mankind could stand there and declare himself to be the light of the world, and that whoever follows him shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life? What other flesh and blood human being could ever claim such a statement to himself? There's none. Because on our own, there's none righteous, no, not one. But Jesus wasn't just a normal flesh and blood human being. No, he was the God-man manifest in the flesh. And so as the Christ, as the Messiah, as the Son of the living God, he can declare these things, and they are truth. Certainly it must have been shocking for the Pharisees and the Jews, but new truth always is shocking. Question is, what's the positioning of your heart? Is your heart humble and desirous and eager to do the will of God and to please him? Or are you lifted up with yourself and your own knowledge and your own ways? So let's continue in the text. And we come to verse 21 today. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come? Jesus says, I go my way. Amen. He is the way, and the way is his way. That's very important. Frank Sinatra sang a song. He said, I did it my way. Yes, he did. And there's a way which seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Unfortunately, Frank isn't in the kingdom of God right now because he did it his way. There's only one man who can say, I go my way. And the way that he's talking about is the way into the throne room of the Father, to sit at the right hand of the Father. There's only one who can say that. Anyone else who says, I go my way, they're going to go straight to hell. Just like Lucifer himself will end up in hell because he did it his way. No, let us be humble. If we want to enter the kingdom of God, if we want to be true worshipers of the Father, then let us not go our way. Let us go his way, the way of Jesus, the one who paved the way into the holiest. Jesus said, I go my way. And he said, ye shall seek me. The Jews will seek him. But they're not going to find him. You know, there's a right way to seek God, and there's a wrong way to seek God. The book of Proverbs talks about people who wouldn't listen to God. They wouldn't listen to his wisdom. They didn't want to choose the fear of the Lord. They wanted to do things their own way. They wanted to run and have fun. And then when the day of trouble and calamity and judgment begins to fall upon them, then they're going to begin to seek God early. He says, but they won't find me. Why? Because they hated instruction and did not choose the fear of the Lord. See, Jesus is teaching these Jews, chapter 5, chapter 7, here in chapter 8, more at the end of chapter 9 into chapter 10, and also in chapter 12. He's teaching, he's instructing these lost Jews in the way of life, but they're refusing his instruction. And instead of choosing to fear the Lord and stay humble and learn, they're hardening themselves in their own religious pride. And she says, yeah, you'll seek me, but you'll die in your sins. You'll die in your sins. All who refuse Christ's instruction, all who refuse the fear of the Lord, shall die in their sins. And he says, where I'm going, you cannot come. That's interesting. The Jews, they don't want to go to hell. They want to go to heaven. But they cannot go to heaven. They're not welcome in heaven with their hearts and their spirits. And so what's the Jews' conclusion? Will he kill himself? That's their conclusion. These guys are not very bright. They might think they're bright, but they're not. You can't reject the light of the world and be bright. You might think you're intelligent, but you ain't bright. That brightness is darkness, according to Matthew chapter 6. So now in verses 23 through 30, Jesus is going to reveal himself. And we're going to see a stark contrast between who Jesus is and everyone else. Verse 23 through 30, let's read. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things, and he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. So notice Christ's going to contrast first. The Jews, they are from beneath. They are of this world. Jesus, he is from above. He says, I am from above. Amen. I am. We're going to see that repeating theme. He says, I am not of this world. He's not of this world. Galatians 1 verse 4 calls it this present evil world. No, he's not of this world. He's from above. In fact, he's the one that made everything in the world, both visible and invisible. Things in heaven and in earth. Colossians chapter 1 verses 15 through 16. And not only is he from above, but after he died on that cross and resurrected, according to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 21, the Father has now raised him back up above, not just above, but it says far above all principality and might and power and dominion and above every single name that is named. That's Jesus. He says, I am from above. And Christ reiterates the truth, and he expounds that if they don't believe that I am he, okay, that's the key. If they don't believe that I am he. Now, it's just interesting here in verse 24, I am he is in italics. And so people say, well, it shouldn't be there. It's not in the original Greek. By the way, I am he, I am who? Who's he talking about? Who's the he? Well, when you go back to Isaiah chapter 43, you know what's really neat? In Isaiah 43 verses 10 through 13, the living God is calling out to Israel and he's saying, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that's Jehovah, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, that's Jehovah, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am He. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Jesus said, if you don't believe that I am He. In Isaiah 43, the living God declared to Israel, I am He. There's no Savior beside me. There's no God beside me. I'm the one who was before the day. I'm the one who formed everything. Guess who that is? That's Jesus Christ. And back to the italics. In John, the He is in italics. But in Isaiah, the am is in italics. So in Isaiah, it's just supposed to say, quote unquote, I He. And in John, it's just supposed to say, I am. But you know what? The Lord breathed new life into those translators of the King James Bible. And guess what? It links up. The same I am He of John chapter 8 is the same I am He of Isaiah chapter 43. Wow. Guess those italics are pretty good after all. And Jesus says, if you don't believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. It's the same thing that God declared through Ezekiel. Back in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4, He said, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Jesus says, if you won't believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. Why? Because they all sin. And their only hope to be saved is to repent and turn to the only Savior, the Messiah, the God-man, the one standing right in front of them, and believe in Him with all their heart. That's their only hope. The Jews ask, who art thou? He goes, if you don't believe I am He, you're going to die in your sins. Well, who are you then? They pop off. The Jews ask Him point blank, who are you? And yet, because of their prideful and deceitful and judging hearts, Jesus will not directly give them the straightforward answer that they are looking for. He doesn't say, I'm the Messiah. I'm your King. I'm your Lord. I'm your Savior. No. How does He respond? He says, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. Amen. Now, remember, the beginning in terms of Him talking to these Jews would go back to John 5, or else you could even go back to John 2, and basically what He said from the beginning in terms of His ministry to them is that He's the Son of the Father. His first statement to them in John 2 was, take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. In John 5:17, He said, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. So that's who He's been telling them since the beginning of His ministry. But I think it's interesting. He says, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. Remember, Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. Amen. Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. So if they take this and run this through the scriptures all the way back to the beginning, it's the same one that He's been saying since the beginning. He's the living God. He's the creator of heaven and earth. There's none else beside Him. Since the beginning. And then He says, I have many things. Amen. Jesus does. Unlimited treasures, all the treasures, all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Him bodily. He says, I have many things to say of you and to judge of you. He's got many things, and He'll continue to unveil things, and He's revealing judgment through the things that He's saying. But he wants them to understand, but he that sent me is true. Amen. That's the Father. It's amazing how Jesus Christ continually keeps pointing them back to the Father who sent him. See, Jesus as a man is just the representative of the Father. It's all he is. He's not coming up with his own doctrine. He's not coming up with his own tricks. He's not seeking his own glory. He's sent by the Father. The Father is 100% true, and he's only doing what the Father wants him to do. He's going to reveal that just now. He says, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. So he keeps stating that he's only speaking what he's heard from the Father. Christ is the ambassador of the Father. An ambassador cannot speak more or less than what he's been sent to speak. But again, verse 27, they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. They understand not. One of the marks of the reprobate mind, according to Romans chapter 1, verse 31, is that those who are given over to a reprobate mind, they are without understanding. They understood not. Now in verse 28, he tells them, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know. They're going to know two things. First thing, you'll know that I am He. That's the first thing. They're going to know. When the whole land goes completely pitch black at midday, right at noon, for 3 hours while he's on that cross. And then when he cries and yields up the ghost, and the earth rips in two. And then when they go back into the temple and the veil of the temple is ripped from top to bottom. I mean, the priests never saw the most holy place. Never saw it. Only the high priest could go in once a year. And now all the priests that go in, they're going to see that thing ripped. He goes, you'll know that I am he. Now, this is shocking, but it's true. After all that stuff happened, the Jews knew he was the Messiah. And they still rejected him and would not believe, would not repent, would not bow to him. Pretty sad. It's pretty messed up. Just shows how hard the heart of man can be if he does not take heed to listen to God in the day when God gives him a chance to listen. And not only will they know that he's he, but they'll know that he does nothing of himself. They'll know Christ was not a pretender. He wasn't another fake Messiah. There have been plenty of fake Messiahs running around gathering followings, pretending to be something, and then they end up dying and everything comes to nothing. They'll know he wasn't a pretender. But they'll know that as the Father taught him, that's what he spoke. And they're going to see this power transfer to his apostles. Because even in Acts 4:13, after they arrest Peter and John, and then they start preaching with such boldness against them, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They saw there was a power in the Spirit of Jesus Christ and in his doctrine that they never had. By the way, that's where true power and authority comes from. It doesn't come from schools and degrees. It comes from hearing from the Father, hearing from Jesus, spending time with Jesus Christ, and speaking the things that he has taught us. That's where true authority comes from. And then I love this last statement he says here. He says, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. What powerful statements, huh? He that sent me is with me. The Father is with the Son in everything he does. He's not left him alone. The Father has not left the Son alone. Why not? Why didn't the Father leave the Son alone? Well, there's lots of reasons, you know, theologically. and throughout the scriptures that we can find. But right here, here's why Jesus says that the Father is with him and has not left him alone. Because end of verse 29, "For I do always those things that please him." I do always those things that please him. Remember in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, we see that all things that were created for the pleasure of the Lord God Almighty. They were created for the pleasure of the Father. We were created to please him. And ever since sin entered into the world, no man has perfectly pleased the Father in all things. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. But that's what we were created for, is to please him. And so Jesus comes down to this earth, takes upon him the form of a man. He's not a created human being with a beginning and an end like other humans. And yet, he takes upon him the form of a man. And so that body that he inhabits, that body was created in time. It was formed in time. And so taking upon him the form of a man, the seed of Abraham, he walks and lives as a man for 33 years and does always those things that please the Father. Hallelujah. In Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 7, it tells us, speaking of Jesus, "Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God." That's what Jesus came. He came to do the will of God, and it's written in the volume of the book all about him. It's all about Jesus. "I do always those things that please him." That's why the Father has not left him alone. And in Romans 15, verse 3, it says, "For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me." Jesus didn't come to please himself. He came to please the Father. And in Isaiah 53, verse 10, it says that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Ultimately, Jesus became a man for the atonement, for the substitution, for the sacrifice, for the redemption, for the propitiation. The Son of Man's going to be lifted up. And praise God that in Christ, the Father and the Son will also never leave us alone. And that in Christ, we can learn to do those things that please our Father in heaven as well. But he's the one who did it perfectly. He's the one. He is the I am he, from Isaiah 43. In verse 30, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Remember what Jesus said in John 6, verse 63. He said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." If you'll believe on him, if you'll believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you can have life through his name. And there were Jews right there that as Jesus was speaking these things and revealing who he is, that he's the one from above, they're all from beneath, that he's not of this world, they're all of this world. They're believing with all their heart in Jesus. Now Jesus is going to have a further word for them, and we'll see that next session. But where it all begins is for us to humble ourselves and listen to Jesus and hear as he reveals who he is and to believe on him. Listen, Jesus wasn't the first enlightened one, like a Buddha or something like that. No, Jesus is the one from above. Everyone else is of this world naturally. Jesus was not of this world naturally. Everyone else is from beneath. Let's understand once and for all that he and only he is the Eternal One from before the beginning until the end, who came down to save man from his sins. And if you'll humble yourself and believe on him, you can be saved. This is session number 55 of the Gospel according to John. John chapter 8, verses 21 through 30. Amen and amen.